This is Will's Band of the Week for September 15th, 2019. Hello, and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Jeremiah from the Santa Fe Bureau.
Hey, everybody there. Howdy, howdy.
How's it going in the Santa Fe Bureau?
It's good, yeah. This is kind of my favorite time of the year, I think, at least weather-wise. It's like just starting to cool off, but it's still not cold, and just glorious day. Yeah, I'm hoping to go on a hike later, so yeah. Good day. How are you doing?
It's really great here too, in the humble Midwest. Had a really nice day. Went out for a run, and it was great. Yeah, like sunny and 60. Perfect weather for a run.
Awesome.
So, yeah. Yep. And the neighborhood block party is today. So
really, that sounds fun.
Yeah, I put up barricades at each end of the block, and people walk out on the street and enjoy themselves.
Wow, yeah. Do you have like a whole music lineup and everything?
No, we, in the past, we did have, like, when Grant was in high school, you know, his band played a couple times. And it was funny because we set up the drums in the middle of the street, and there's this kid, like this 10-year-old kid. He just went crazy because having a drum set, you know, he just started pounding on me. Oh, it was great.
Oh, my gosh. That's great. Oh, my God. You have like, of course, wristbands in the VIP section, mm-hmm. and you know,
yeah. If you pay the $200, you get exclusive access to everything. Like all the snacks that people bring out, you can just eat all you want if you pay the $200.
Right, so, and the curated tours of the studio and everything.
Right. You have to have a wristband though, so you know they do check. You have to make sure somebody's in charge at all times. So yeah,
right.
We've done.
Barrett's ahead of security, probably.
Right. I think Barrett crashed our block party before. He's doesn't quite live on the block here. He lives about a mile. What did we say? I think we figured this out once before. It's between 1 and 2 miles, I think.
Oh, that's close.
Yeah,
that's great.
It's not too far. Yeah. So, well, we were talking in pre-production, the extensive pre-production, about having a lot for this week, right?
Yeah, this is just like, we are definitely going to hit $0 worth.
We'll be at $0 like halfway through, I think.
Exactly.
That's how I feel about it.
Up to a nickel or a dime pretty quick.
Yeah, I think so. Hey, I should give a plug to our friend Jason, who's on another podcast. And I'm going to not be offended if people listen to a different podcast. But it's called Analog Thoughts in a Digital World. And Jason was a guest on the first episode of the season, and it sounds like he's going to be a regular contributor to it. So check it out, Analog Thoughts in a Digital World.
Yeah, great. I'll check that out. Even though they might be slightly competition, but
right, that's a terrible thing. What if somebody listened to that instead of listening to us? That would just be...
Well, that won't happen.
Oh, my God. No. That can't
obviously,
happen.
That won't happen.
No. All right. Well, why don't we start with Daniel Johnston? People in the, you know, indie rock fans probably have all heard of Daniel Johnston. And he died this past week at the age of 58. And you know what's funny? I was actually joking that I was getting Robert Johnson and Daniel Johnston mixed up because they are both associated with the devil. I don't know if you saw that.
Or wasn't the documentary or something?
Yeah, right.
About him or something was named that.
These are names that I had heard that I had so little familiarity with. And I was just reminded, David, our podcast cohort, and his son Gabriel actually went to see Daniel Johnston a couple of years ago on his last tour. Probably a month ago, the Sound Opinions podcast did a special about Robert Johnson. And I'm like, well, that's a familiar name. So Robert Johnson, you know, he's like a blues guy from the 20s, you know, from
way back. Father of the blues.
They have no relation whatsoever, but just, you know, names get mixed up when you don't know, when you're not that familiar. So, and then, but they both had this devil thing. So Robert Johnson had a, the legend that he sold his soul to the devil or something of that nature. And then, of course, there's the documentary that Barrett reminded me about this week, about Daniel Johnston, called The Devil and Daniel Johnston. And so I watched it this week. Have you ever seen that?
I haven't. No, I need to check it out. I actually did not know much about him. I'd heard the name, and he was kind of this underground cult following. I wasn't hip enough to catch that before.
Well, I was in that same non-hip category. So I tried to educate myself about him a bit this week. Kind of successfully. So I watched the documentary. I would definitely recommend the documentary. He had a lot of mental health issues, and the documentary is from 2005. And one amazing thing about it is he recorded so many things. So he's got like these super candid recordings that are apparently all like on cassette, but like of his mom yelling at him and stuff. And it's like super unfiltered stuff. And it's just fascinating. So I would definitely recommend that documentary. And I did a little research and, you know, look back at his, you know, what, at least the things that people were talking about now as what they remember most about him. And it seems like the song I kept running across is one called True Love Will Find You in the End. And there are a whole bunch of versions of it that you can find on the internet. A whole bunch of bands have covered it. And there's, of course, a bunch of recordings of him doing it. But I found one that I thought would be a good one to play. Just from 2 years ago. This was published November 2nd, 2017. And you can find it on YouTube. It's the radio station KCRW, and they had him in the studio with some other musicians doing this song, and it's pretty cool. So here it is.
True love will find you in the end. You will find out just who was your friend. Don't be sad, I know you will. But don't give up until true love will find you in the end. This is a promise with a catch. Only if you're looking can it find you. 'Cause true love is searching too. But how can it recognize you unless you step out into the light, the light? Don't be sad, I know you will. But don't give up until true love will find you in the end.
Wow, that's pretty heartfelt, huh?
Isn't that really? It's just, his stuff is just what I guess my comment was, just everything that he did was so unfiltered. It was like you're getting it straight from his brain to you.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. With no, yeah, it's very personal.
Yeah. Yep. So, Daniel Johnston, glad I had a chance to do a little bit of digging into his catalog this week. So a lot of his stuff, you know, the stuff that he was doing back when he was, you know, 20 years old or whatever, is all this lo-fi acoustic stuff on cassettes. And of course he'd make artwork and with each one, and it's like the early days of lo-fi, you know. It's
right,
it's like,
yeah, it's like the precursor. Yeah. Supposedly, like, I read a little bit about him, just that when he was doing, he was making these cassettes, he was working at like McDonald's, and then would go like play them randomly and record them on his like boombox. And then I don't know right. how he kind of totally broke through, but then became this really cult kind of, you know, underground cult figure that, you know, Yola Tango and different bands covered his songs, and
yeah,
and kind of the songwriter basically.
Wilco, the Flaming Lips, wow, yeah. Beck, they all did covers, and you can find that stuff. Yeah, in the documentary they show him he's like clearing the tables at McDonald's, and he somehow got onto MTV and was featured on a thing on MTV, and then in the documentary they talk about how nobody knew how to get a hold of him, so they just would like call the McDonald's to try to reach him.
Remember and, that Bree cell phones? It was
kind nobody of had cell phones, right? Right. And then the other thing that happened, apparently, that I can't remember the whole order sequence of events here, but another thing that happened that gave him the big boost was that Kurt Cobain was wearing one of his shirts.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And apparently wore it like several times. So people kept seeing, oh, this shirt that Cobain is wearing, I've got to find out more about this guy. So it like gave him all this publicity, and I guess he didn't even know who Kurt Cobain was. So
right.
That's,
wow.
That's pretty funny. So
oh, gosh.
Anyway, Daniel Johnston.
It was sad. He was so young, huh? They said, what a heart attack, I guess.
Right.
That's what I heard. Yep. It's really, yeah, it's sad.
Yep. All right. We have one more, and this is editorial discretion. So we might get into trouble, but I thought we could play the jingle this time.
And now it's time for the Death of the Week.
Eddie Money died. And
wow, Eddie Money.
You know, think back and... like I said, you know, we've gotten into a little bit of trouble with the Death of the Week jingle. But, you know, would Eddie Money be mad at us for playing the jingle? You know, I don't think he would be.
I don't think so. Yeah, I mean, gosh. Yeah, rest in peace, Eddie Money. Wow.
He was 70 years old. And
really? Wow.
And I went back and, of course, you know, when I was younger, I, you know, heard all the Eddie Money hits. And I kind of forgot the time frame a little bit. So like if you had asked me, you know, when did Eddie Money kind of break through, I would have said maybe early 80s. Well, it turns out this song I'm about to play came out in 1977.
Right. Yeah. I guess he had some early stuff. I knew all the kind of mid 80s, whatever, 1986 or 87. I think I was
right.
Like a sophomore in high school, the Take Me Home Tonight and stuff like that.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a moment, but
okay.
This is from 1977, Two Tickets to Paradise.
We'll be right back.
Yeah, so
I remember that song.
That was you do or don't.
I do. Yeah,
yeah.
I didn't put it together that was Eddie Money. I think I was like 6 or something when that came out.
Yeah, so that's that goes way back.
And the first part is really nice. The chorus I could do or do without maybe, but the whole first part is really
it's kind of
cool.
It's a 70s pop metal thing. It's like early pop metal, I guess you'd call it. It's not really metal, I guess, but it's sort of hard rock, hardish rock. So what I didn't realize was the time frame that you mentioned. Take Me Home Tonight. That was 1986. So that's 9 years later. So he had I guess he had his big breakout in the late 70s, and then he had some issues and kind of was like, I don't know what was going on, but then. Somehow he got brought back in the 80s. So it's kind of interesting because I think they're similar songs, but note the 80s production plus Ronnie Spector on Take Me Home Tonight. See, that was kind of nice of her to do that for him, wasn't it?
That was really nice. Yeah, she's a good addition to that. That took me right back to, I think, like freshman year high school dance.
You know,
kind of dark in the cafeteria. Trying to, find someone to dance with.
Being entertained by Eddie Money. Yep.
That's it.
Yeah. So he kind of, later in his life, it wasn't like there were like popular Eddie Money albums in the last two decades or whatever. So he was kind of on the, what I would call the county fair circuit. He'd play at these fairgrounds and stuff. And in that way, kind of like 38 Special, actually.
Right? He's just getting up there.
Retro act. Yeah, probably didn't achieve quite that incredible level of 38 Special. But, I bet they knew each other, right? You would think.
Yeah, I'm sure. I would think they probably, they probably sipped a couple cappuccinos together, I'm sure.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. All right. There you go. Now let's hope people live for a while so we don't have to do too many of these, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Gosh. Come on, people. Keep living.
Yep. Got to keep on living. So we have indie rockers, because that's what we talk about on this podcast, right?
Yeah. We seem to kind of focus in that genre mostly.
And I think that both you and I have stated our affinity for Frankie Cosmos. So there's a new Frankie Cosmos album.
Right. Or I was going to, before you said who was going to be on, I was like, oh, we could ask people, what do they want to start with? We could start with the Potty Mouth, the Gloom Even Through Good Times, or the Cheery Even in the Heartache artist.
There you go. Yeah. So the latter would be Frankie Cosmos, right?
Yeah, you got it. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I got it. Your description was just excellent. That's kind of like Nicholas level, I think. That's getting pretty high level right there.
I'm working on it. Nick is pretty hard to catch up
with. Yeah, he is actually. So the new album is called Close It Quietly. I think is it about the fourth one? But seems about
I
like
think,
the fourth one.
Yeah, and then she's what is the second second or third one on Sub Pop, or maybe it's a second, I think. But yeah, it's I like it.
Yeah, I love the last one so much that I thought this probably can't quite live up to that. But boy, a lot of it does, I think. It's worthy. So why don't we... I'll just pick a track. I'm going to go ahead and pick one.
Go for it.
It's always pretty safe to just pick track two, and this one's a good one, so let's do it. Cosmic Shop.
Your windows glisten.
Frankie Cosmos. So this is 21 songs, 39 minutes. So kind of long in terms of number of songs, but it moves right along. So
yeah, they're quick little ditties,
right?
But and they're all pretty good. I mean, I think I like maybe the first half of the album a little more than the second, but there's still some really strong songs in the second half. And like that, you would think most artists would just be like, all right, we'll just put out 12.
Right.
Just save the rest for the next one. But she's just so prolific. It's amazing that, you know, and just, I think I read something that she, you know, so one of her tweets recently was like, oh, who wants to hear like one of the 300 songs I wrote this year or something?
Yeah. You know,
she's kind of incredible that way.
Yeah,
so,
it's like
she had to pare it down from 300 to 21, I guess. So
she's that's like a perfect female Bob Pollard, right?
Right, exactly.
She can just put
merge.
She's doing a better editing job than Pollard. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
So yeah. So as a subgenre, we'd maybe call it twee, right? Just kind of the vibe that it has.
Yeah, I guess that's what they kind of get placed into, which seems to be kind of the DIY, little bit lo-fi, bedroom recordings, you know, kind of, I don't know how to else describe it besides like maybe just explaining life through really kind of whimsical lyrics and I guess it's younger than millennials, right? Or are they millennials? Like, are millennials like late 20s, mid 20s? Is that the...
Sounds about right.
See, I'm so old, I don't even know.
I guess millennial means you know, you grew up in this century, right?
Right, yeah.
So if you were born after, I don't know, 1990 or something, then are you a millennial?
Mm-hmm, yeah. So that generation, so it seems like most of that, you know, the twee stuff's been happening then. And yeah, it seems like this album, to me, it's a really like they've kind of come more even into that kind of a full band sound.
Right.
You know,
there's kind of
slowly from the bedroom to the more band sound and a little more instruments and things.
Right. And there's a few that sort of rock a little bit more than most of their stuff in the past.
Right, exactly.
So,
and
yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Like, keep going that direction. No.
Right.
I mean, I like the real simple stuff too. I mean, and just, you know, her lyrics are so great. They're just so kind of just kind of sometimes very matter of fact, or just kind of what she's feeling, or, you know, what she's seeing around her, and but in a very, I don't want to say naive way, or very like,
innocent, just, maybe.
Yeah, like, exactly. Like, I mean, she's probably not super innocent.
Right. Yeah. You wouldn't
the
think
the lyrics come off that way. You know?
And, right.
Yeah, I'm sure she's had a really interesting, you know, upbringing in life as well. But,
right.
I guess the, so one of those, I think, more kind of rockin' songs that I like, is, track 4, So Blue.
Yeah.
And of course, as soon as I say that, then that wasn't that rocking, I guess.
Yeah, but it kind of started to rock. Like, it built up to, yeah, I'm going to call it rocking.
Yeah, a little bit, you know, on the more rocking side. And just, you know, just the lyrics are just so fun sometimes, you know.
Yep.
That I am everyone you'll never meet. I am every book you'll never read. I am the picture that didn't come out. I am the story stuck inside of your mouth. You know, that's like pretty classic, I guess.
Yeah.
Frankie Cosmos lyrics, you know.
Right. Right. I think it's really well recorded too. The sound is great. Just on the simple bass drums and vocals. It's kind of punchy. Doesn't sound lo-fi at all, but it doesn't sound big budget either. You know, I think it finds a good.
Yeah, exactly. It's a nice balance.
Yeah. Yep. So
I wonder if I wonder if the drummer had a t-shirt on his snare drum like he does live.
Oh,
if he does that when they record.
I think I did.
Almost slightly muffled snare drum sound. Like.
I can't remember. Either I saw Frankie Cosmos live like 3 years ago, or I saw her. I know that I saw her play bass for another guy. Oh, she's friends with this other guy from New York who has a band. Now I can't remember the name of it. And she was the bass player on that tour for.
That's cool.
For his band, and yeah, it was great. It was that great punchy bass sound that I really like. That's Frank, the bass here is pretty, you know, pretty punchy too. I like it. Here's one. I'm going to play one that might have a little bit of rocking in it. Let's give this one a try. Number 12. I'm It.
Expecting
That one sort of rocked, right?
Definitely. That one's a rockin'. Yeah, I like that. It wasn't one I picked, but that one I like, too. There's so many to choose from.
Yeah, when you've got 21 to pick from. And it's really pretty solid. Like you said, I think the first half is a little better than the second half, but still very worthy.
Yeah, I think it's a really great album. I could listen to that all day long. Well, maybe not all day, but half the day, maybe.
Yeah, half the day. All right, Frankie Kosmos, Close It Quietly. Definitely podcast worthy. So I think we're approaching, could we dare to say we're at $0 already?
I would think so. Boy. Yeah, we're already there. Now we're just trying to climb a little bit into the black, right? A little over.
Right. So let's talk about Black Belt Eagle Scout. So we kind of have a history with this band now, right?
Because one thing before we start with them, I stumbled on this new type of music this morning.
A new type of music? Sure, yeah.
Have you ever heard of Kawaii Metal?
No.
I'm sorry, I just had to throw this in. Oh my goodness, what a morning I had watching a bunch of I don't know if it's Kawaii or Kawaii, but it's Kawaii. Okay. So that's that Japanese term of being like cute or whatever that kind of is unfortunately put onto to women or girls. Mm-hmm. But there's this whole genre of music that's like Kawaii metal. So it's like really cute, but then really like dark as well. So it's like, it's really interesting. Like when you go, it's kind of a mashup of, you know, heavy metal or even like hardcore with J-pop. Mm-hmm. And so when you get a chance, check out Lady Baby. You got to check out their videos. They're just over the top. Oh my goodness.
The closest thing I can think of with that description would be Otoboke Beaver. Is it like that at all?
Yeah, but like Otoboke Beaver isn't even like, they're not like cute enough. You know, this is almost like, you know, like bubblegum core or something, you know. More even cuter and then more hardcore than Carly Bliss or Charlie Bliss or something like that. It's over the top. You got to check it out. So anyway, right. From that to back to Black Belt Eagle Scout.
Right. So we talked about, this is a woman named Catherine Paul from the Pacific Northwest. She sort of, proudly wears her Native American identity. Would that be a way to say it?
Definitely, yeah. She's trying to, I think, really, you know, forge the way for LGBTQ and Native American people, just in society in general, but especially into the music scene more, I think. So that's kind of, seems like from interviews, that's one of her main kind of goals, you know.
Yeah, so we talked about her first album a year ago or so, whatever, whenever that was, sometime last year, I think. And then we saw her down in Austin. And then my wife and I saw her play a few months ago in Madison, actually talked to her a little bit, and that was cool. My wife bought a pair of earrings from her, I think, that she made. So that's kind of cool, right? When you have like something that the artist made. It'd be like, what if you had like, what could you get that would be made by a guy from 38 Special? Like a gun case or something like that?
Right. Yeah,
handcrafted by a member of the band.
Yeah, like a gun case, like covered with like, I don't know, covered with all kinds of like really male looking things.
Right.
You know, symbols. Yeah.
Right.
Something very meaty and very like, that's a good question. Or Frankie Kosmos, what would she sell at the merch table?
Well, you know, you could definitely see like some kind of visual art, I suppose, right? Posters,
right,
or something.
Some art.
Yeah.
Or maybe like, you know, that it's a big thing to like knit like trees and benches. So maybe like knitted with, you know, the millennials, they like to do that. So maybe like a knitted like coffee cup or something. Like,
yeah, that's, boy, I think you got the pulse on this. Yeah. So I wasn't sure what's this album going to be like? Is she going to change her style at all? Is it going to be different? It's pretty similar, right, in approach to the last album, but I think a lot of strong songwriting. You know, she has not tapped out on her songwriting skills. So that's cool.
Yeah, no, it's yeah, it has that, it has kind of the, to me, the same kind of feel, but it seems like the lyrics are like happier, or, you know, like the other one, it seemed like she was dealing with a lot more kind of like loss and heartache. And this one, even though the, some of the lyrics are about kind of falling in love and having crushes and kind of lighter things, the vibe is still the same. You know?
Right,
still,
right. Yeah, it's
kind of, it has that kind of emotionally raw, like almost melancholy feeling, even though she's kind of talking about some of, at least some of the songs talking about fairly positive things.
Yeah. So the album is called At the Party with My Brown Friends. And why don't you take the first pick on this one?
Yeah, gosh, let me see. Let's see. Number six, I like, I said I wouldn't write this song.
You
Yeah, so that one, you know, like a lot of their her songs, you know, it really starts pretty simple and kind of sparse, and then slowly kind of builds and opens up and brings in the guitar, and so just kind of known for that, at least in for my ears.
You know? Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's pretty strong. I think it might be. It's arguably better than the last one, which was really good. So that's cool, right? Does that mean she avoided the sophomore slump?
Exactly. Yeah. I think besides like a couple of the songs on the first album, I think I almost like this one. I think it's like more consistent throughout, than the first one, at least for me. But yeah, she's just, there's something, you know, it's not like super like happy, that's for sure. But it's very, you know, raw and authentic and, you know, it's really pretty simple and kind of sparse, you know?
Yeah,
it's really just a lot of times her and a slight, at least the first half of the songs, you know, just general, like barely a little percussion or just strumming the guitar and her voice. And then kind of more things kind of come in. And some of them have even some, you know, some synth in it and some electronic stuff, which is always welcomed in my book. But yeah, I think it's a really strong album.
She likes to do the bring the drums in the middle of the song. She likes that technique, and I think it works well for her. That's cool. So I'm tempted to play the first track because I think it's really a standout. But there are a couple more that I really like a lot. So why don't we play number three, Going to the Beach with Haley.
Thank you.
I'm happy with my pick there.
Yeah, that's I love that one. That was one of mine that I was had lined up. So we're on the same page.
Yeah, it's definitely the it's kind of mood rock, right?
Definitely.
It's sort of a, I guess it could be dream pop. It's got a dreamy quality.
It has some dreamy electronic stuff going on, and kind of two different guitars, like the strumming one in the front and then kind of the reverb one later in the song, kind of in the background more.
Yeah. So the two times that I've seen her, the one time that she had a bass player, it was definitely better because, you know, it just fills in the sound. The other time it was just her and a drummer, and she's a very good guitar player. But to have, you know, you can notice like in that song when she brought in some other instrumentation, it was kind of cool, right?
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Provides a good contrast and a good, I like it. So, well, back to you for the next pick.
Yeah, I was trying to like think like what does her music make me feel like, you know? And it's like, to me, I think it's almost like in the, you know, you get up in the morning and it's like before the sun's come over the hill, basically, and you're kind of like half asleep still, and it's kind of, you're dreamy and you're kind of like half awake. And then it's like halfway through the song is when like the sun starts coming up over the hill. Then it kind of like, you know, the like sun hits you and it's like the song kind of unfolds, and it's, and then it's like the kind of the start of the day and this, the real kick in of the song. So that's kind of, I think, how like it, most of these kind of feel to me. But let's see, another one that I liked was track two, My Heart Dreams.
Black Belt Eagle Scout.
Yep, it's a keeper.
It is, definitely. At the party with my brown friends. And, yeah, it's not really a party album, though, right? It'd be an,
it'd be an introspective
party, right? Very introspective party.
Yeah, exactly. That's just the mellow party with my brown friends.
Right. All right.
But, yeah, very nice. Yeah, it was good. Good album.
I'm going to declare us two for two.
I think we can go. I'm feeling good about this week.
Yeah, we're gonna. Would you say it's slightly risky? Our next one, it's a little bit, little different, right? It's not an obvious pick, but I think
This might be. Yeah. Maybe it's might almost be as controversial as Black Midi or something like that.
It could be right.
or Diane Coffee. Or
right,
something.
Right. See. Yeah, those are two of the major controversial artists we've talked about. So this is dry cleaning, and I actually forgot where they were from and had to go back and look. So maybe we should do that thing where we play something. People can guess where they think the band would be from. Do you think they
can
tell?
There you go, yeah. Or I could, should I spill the beans? Or no, we'll let people guess, I think, until
so this is the this is an EP. This is a short thing, but we decided it was still cool, right? Six songs, 22 minutes, called Sweet Princess. And I think we kind of got to start with number three, don't you think?
Yeah, that's a pretty strong song.
Magic of Megan. Dry cleaning. All right, that was good.
That's a good one.
It's actually kind of easy to figure out where they're from. If you just guess, you're probably right, right?
She's a smasher. Like, I think the accent and then the slang words gave it away pretty quickly.
So. You know how on the Bandcamp page, usually there's this great big long list of adjectives and descriptors. It'll give a bunch of genres, and they usually put the where they're from. And this one just says, Rock, London. So, yeah. I think, I'm kind of a fan of the talking vocal. So, I don't know about you, but that's, like, generally kind of cool, I think. So.
Yeah, no, I think, and she's, yeah, there's something special about her voice or her delivery or something that is really... I found fond, I'm fond of, and it's funny because most of the songs are kind of just, kind of based, stream of consciousness about, common things that somehow kind of paint, a somber feeling or evoke some kind of tragic feeling or something, except the song that we played. It's so funny. That's like the one song that's like kind of about something that you can kind of understand. And the rest are kind of just like, it seems like reminds me of my monkey mind, of just like next thought coming up.
Yeah. Random thoughts. Right.
But then that one, that's funny. That's interesting how, the magic of Megan, about, I guess it's, I would assume it's about the Duchess of Sussex. Right. And I'm typically a sucker for a love story but I guess I'm just generally not too fond of monarchs, right? Mm-hmm. So I guess that one's kind of a controversy too. I wonder what Craig thinks about Megan. That'll be the next question when Craig's on next. So what do you think about the Duchess of Sussex? And I guess it also shows maybe that she or the band is pretty comfortable with who they are, that they can gush on about Monarchs, because that's not typically a hard rocker stance, right? You know, after the Sex Pistols and the Specials and different people.
Right, that's true.
Love to just smash on the royalty.
right. yeah. So, I thought, just the sort of the tone of how she does that kind of talking thing, of course, made me think of Kim Gordon. But also, her voice, and I'm sure maybe the accent is part of it, but she sounds like Phoebe Waller-Bridge, the actress. Because I can picture her being the person doing that narration. So it's pretty funny.
Right.
So maybe I'm totally wrong, but that's what I thought of. All right.
It almost sounds like that, it's kind of like, okay, this band, it's almost like a art performance piece almost. Okay, there's a band, your backup band, you're at a museum, and then someone just hands you a sheet of lyrics and she's just kind of reading them off.
Right.
You know, at least the other songs, that song was a little different, but I think a lot of the other songs are like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what are we going to play next?
Well, if it's not going to throw off our G rating too much, I think number one, Good Night.
Let's do it. Yep. I don't think we'll get kicked off the internet for that, will we?
I don't know. We'll have to put a warning label
that
on
big
the front.
E. Yeah. Great big E.
Big E, exactly. Not for listening under the age of 18 or before 10 o'clock in the morning.
Right, yeah. Well, you gave the warning, right? Sometimes you hear podcasts where they say right at the beginning, the following podcast contains explicit language. But I mean, they don't have
this
to.
This might be, this might upset people. So
we said it.
Come back next time.
Yeah, we said it before.
Forewarning.
Yeah. So, there's another one with some pretty salty language that is a fun one too. So, I'll try to one up you by playing that one. Number five, Phone Scam.
She'd asked 20 girls already. I feel really horrible, but also that she doesn't have the right to scream at me in my face. She said I was a horrible cunt. She said I was a bastard. She screamed and screamed, I don't want to touch it. bothered by the fact that she was screaming at me. I had the feeling that what she was saying was a script. She said I was a horrible cunt. She said I was a dickhead. She screamed and screamed, I don't want to touch it.
Dry cleaning. That's pretty fun, right?
Very fun, yeah. that bass line and then the guitar kind of falling out of the sky down in that little part. That's sweet.
Yeah, it's cool.
And I'm not sure. I don't even think I want to know what she doesn't want to touch, right?
Right.
I'm just like, that one's just, yeah. Just leave that one.
Yeah, that's kind of like, that line is a little weird in the context of the phone scam, like she's getting a call from a telemarketer or something.
Exactly. So, yeah. Just jumps all over the place.
Yeah. Then. Yeah. Well, anyway, cool. I think that's a fun one. So, we'll probably only lose like a third of our listeners. So most of them will stay with us, right?
Yeah. We might lose some of those really nice Midwestern people.
Right. Yeah.
You know, but besides that,
yep.
You know, the people on the coasts probably just, they'll just look beyond that or
right.
Actually, you probably got some more cred, actually, with some people from the East Coast, I would imagine.
Yeah. Yeah, there's like a, like, who do you go for? Do we go for our base, or do we go for the, you know, the far left and the far right, or whatever? That's the question, right?
Yeah, that's a question on so many levels in society right now.
It is, totally, right. Yep.
Play to the base, right? Oh, goodness.
Right. Okay. It's officially way above $0. I mean, people should be listening right now and thinking, I should be paying, unsolicited, I should send them lots of money, right? That's probably what they're thinking now.
Yeah, my phone's just blowing up with Venmo stuff right now.
Yeah, it should be just like, there's like one of those little counter things and the digits are just running up, you know, like you're at the gas station, only it's going up instead of down. Well, wait,
exactly.
It'd be going up.
Yeah, it's my.
It goes up at the gas station too. Yeah,
they might only be like 10 cents at a time or 25 cents, but you know it adds up once you get thousands and thousands of those. So
right, yep. All right, I guess we can get on with our days now. So we're recording this on a Saturday. Hopeful that it'll go up the usual Sunday evening time, but Sunday I will be predisposed, and Barrett and I are prepping for a live report for next week. We'll just say that much for now.
Wow. So, yeah. Nice. Oh yeah. We didn't do any live reports this time, but
we didn't
we'll have
do
to
any.
Save them for next time. Maybe.
I guess. Yeah. Did you have any, do you want to do a late breaking live report? I don't
yeah,
have any.
I had a couple, but well, we don't, if we have time, but if not,
I think that, we're just going to throw the script out the window and we're going to do something in an unusual order because it's fun, right?
Exactly. Yeah, I think it should just be like,
gotta have the jingle. Okay. Now you are permitted to do the live reports because the jingle has appropriately been played.
So that could be a question, right? Is like, what were the live reports? And we know that whoever had the right answer listened to the whole podcast, right? So that's like
exactly,
a little clue
right,
at the end.
Right, yeah.
Maybe Jason will get this one as well.
Right, yes.
Oh, and this actually, the first band that I saw, now we're officially going to get probably kicked off the air by the FCC, but their name is called Holy Fuck.
Okay, and, I think I've heard of them. Yeah.
Yeah, they just, I don't know how I did not hear of them before. I mean, there's that band up there called Fucked Up, I think, that from
right.
Montreal or Toronto or something. And it's more kind of like metal, or you even played, I think, something, was it last week or a couple weeks ago, that was more
right.
his solo stuff that was softer, you know?
Yeah, it's one of the members is the guy who is Young Gov. Right.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
So these guys are this like kind of really deep electronic band, but really based with an anchor of kind of driving drums and bass and lots of like repurposed equipment to make really weird sounds. And I really liked it. Both me and my wife were both like, wow, this is awesome. And using all kinds of weird, you know, film reels, you know, and different like found objects to make loops and stuff and kind of building songs. And so that was really, really cool. And so I would suggest people check them out. They are very good. And they opened actually for Hot Chips. We saw a couple Hot Chip shows and they were excellent as well. They kind of fine tuned their tour. You know, I'd saw them a few months ago when they were kind of just trying out a bunch of new songs, and now they've kind of got a real solid, you know, set list down, and they had some really fun covers of, they did it, you know, that Beastie Boys Sabotage song, covered that, and also William Oniobar's, Good Name. So that was a fun little, you know, throwing those in between songs, kind of flowing in, you know, merging different songs with little covers in between and stuff. So that was really fun. Yeah, it was like back east, and we had a good trip. Yeah, just a little work and a little fun and music, and now we're back.
Good combo. So, weren't you supposed to be getting a backstage pass or something of that similar impressive nature for Hot Chip?
Well, yeah, that didn't play out. I think they were so like intimidated that I was on Will's Band of the Week that they weren't quite ready to do that.
That's
so
understandable.
They actually, it was kind of odd. They direct messaged me saying, yeah, like backstage triple pass, whatever, triple A pass. And then I wasn't on the list. So it was like, okay, well, I'm just not going to pester them about it. So, but it was really fun. It was great shows and we had a good time. And so, yeah, that's my live report for this
good.
Week.
Good. Great. Good. I'm glad we got that. So, yeah, and we're also,
did you see anything?
I have not seen any, live shows recently enough for a live report. So next week, definitely. And then, in a couple weeks, we might have something, well, I don't know what the live situation is going to be here, but, we're expecting a visit from Craig. So that's going to be super cool. So,
right.
If we don't have a live, I think there's something we're considering going to see, but it's like the night that he gets into town and he's coming in the evening, so we're not sure if the timing's going to work out. So
right.
If we don't have a live music report, we'll just have a beer report, probably. So it's never bad,
well, he's gonna
right?
He's going to fly in his black helicopter, right?
Yeah, so some kind of a private helicopter or jet or something. Yeah,
right.
You know.
It's like a jet with the, you know, anti-radar tracking jet that
right.
comes in quickly to the
yeah.
your small local airport. Exactly.
Yeah. Probably a diversionary tactic. It's not like it's going to be plastered on the side, Craig from Will's Band of the Week, because that would be command too much attention. They might like, you could put like 38 Special on the outside, so it's like nobody has any idea, you know, just to throw them off a little bit.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it's just
of course he'd get mobbed then too. Like, what am I thinking?
Fans, right, both ways. If they know it's Craig, or if they know it's 38 Special, it's just too many people.
We've got to get up.
Too much paparazzi. So
probably what could he put up there? A Grim Streaker logo. Then he wouldn't get
right. Exactly. That then only the people that know that that's his nickname would actually show up.
Right. All right, that's good. We did it. We were already we were above $0 so long ago that
I think we're like to like 29 cents or something at this point.
So I think so. Yep. Multiply that by the 10 million people who are going to download this. What was that get us? That's pretty good, right?
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's like that's close to 3 million or something.
Something like that. All right, all good.
Right. Well, have a good week.
We should sign off. Yeah, everybody have a great week. Be cool. Listen to music. See live bands. Hope the Rockers live for a while longer so we don't have to do any deaths of the week for a while. And we'll talk to everybody again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night, everyone.
The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you each week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, with correspondents from the United States, Canada, the United Kingdom, and Australia. You can subscribe or download the podcast wherever podcasts are available or from our website, willsband.net. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and you can contact us directly by email to willsband@yahoo.com. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.